Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue our extended yet very important study of the seven feasts of the Lord given in Leviticus 23. And we are currently looking at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. In this day, we find the necessity for a sacrifice for sin, entailing the shed blood of the innocent victim as payment for the sins of the guilty, by which this substitutionary sacrifice takes the place of the innocent dying or suffering for the guilty, so that the guilty can be acquitted and go free. Guilt that was accrued by sinning against God's will and His law. And for one sin committed, punishment must be paid. Sin produces separation from God. But God made a way back for the sinner. And He did this through the Day of Atonement, specifically for the nation of Israel. And with each feast that we have looked at up to this point, we see a beautiful picture of Messiah. Yom Kippur is no different. This day was fulfilled by the ultimate sacrifice made by Yeshua the Messiah, the fountain of cleansing, by which final atonement from God is given to the sinner, was opened up and gushed forth from Calvary, where Messiah, the Lamb of God, was crucified, so that through His shed blood on the cross, the sinner can have forgiveness and atonement. Leviticus 16 is the longer and more extended or amplified explanation of the Feast of Atonement given in Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 32. So jumping back again to Leviticus chapter 16, this very word atonement is recurrent throughout this chapter. Indeed, the word atonement is used at least 14 times in Leviticus 16. It is used in the singular and also in the plural. Now let's look at atonement more closely, the very word Kippur in Hebrew. What does this word signify? What are its meanings associated with Kippur, with atonement? Well, there are four acts, redemptive acts, that God brings through atonement. Number one, it is redemption. Redemption. This has the idea of purchase, to buy back again with a price out of the hands of another. So in atonement, the act of atonement brings redemption, the act of purchase or redeeming something. To redeem the sinner is to purchase his life from ruin, destruction, alienation, and separation from God. Redemption. And Jesus is the Redeemer. He redeems us from slavery of sin. And through the redemption price of His own life, He gives us freedom and restores our value and worth to the Lord that sin robbed us of. Next is, secondly, atonement brings or is the act of ransom. If someone were to kidnap you and hold you ransom, that means that they require a price to be paid so that you could go free. And that's the same, basically the same idea we have with ransom and atonement. The price paid in the transaction of redemption. The price for mankind's redemption was the death of Mashiach, Messiah. He gave His life to pay for the redemption of the sinner. So, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, God, through Him, was paying the price of infinity to redeem back sinful man who, made in the image of God, was created to exist for eternity with God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when He gave His life, He gave the priceless price to redeem us unto God. A wondrous thought indeed. The third act that is brought through atonement is propitiation or judicial satisfaction. Propitiation or judicial satisfaction. Propitiation carries with it the idea that the sacrifice for sin offered to God appeases or satisfies the just demands of His law and averts His wrath against the law-breaking sinner. John tells us in his epistle that Jesus is a propitiation for our sins. That is, He satisfies, His death satisfies the wrath of God against the sinner. And with it is replaced, that wrath is replaced by God's love, His mercy, and His acceptance. He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the whole world. 1 John 2:2. So Jesus died for the elect as well as for all of mankind. Then fourth, we have reconciliation. The result of atonement brings reconciliation between the alienated sinner and the God who takes the initiative through the atonement to reconcile the sinner to Himself. Reconciliation occurs when enemies become friends, the result being that God and the sinner are reconciled for fellowship. So on the great day of atonement, redemption was accomplished, a ransom was paid, the propitiation was given to satisfy the just demands of God's wrath against the lawbreaker, effecting reconciliation between the sinner and Himself. All of this was made possible through atonement. Under the Old Covenant, it was done on the day of Yom Kippur with the blood of goats. And the fulfillment, the permanent fulfillment of that under the New Covenant came through the atoning sacrifice of Christ's death on the cross. That is the purpose of atonement, to bring redemption, ransom, propitiation, and reconciliation, all of which was fulfilled in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. For there we see ransom, redemption, and propitiation taking place as the Lord Jesus presented His body and shed His blood on the altar of the cross. Then, the ultimate day of atonement will fully be realized when we are brought, hallelujah, we are brought into the heavenly Holy of Holies to behold God face to face. That will be the completion of our salvation. The agent for atonement was, or the means by which atonement was made, was the shed blood of the innocent substitutionary sacrifice. Under the old covenant, the blood of the innocent animal that was offered for sacrifice made a temporary covering for the sins of the Jewish nation. And we know from reading the book of Hebrews that the day of atonement under the old covenant was a type and shadow pointing to the greater reality given under the new covenant with the blood of Yeshua. What the blood of animals under the old covenant could not do, that is, bring permanent remission and removal of sins, and with that, moral perfection, the new covenant has accomplished. There is more than enough cleansing power, more than enough perfecting power in the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach to make every believer complete, whole, and perfect in the end. The work of Christ's cross will bring about the eradication of sin in the end, thus producing perfection or sinless perfection. Now take note, this will not happen in this life. You and I, as born-again Bible believers in Yeshua, who by faith have applied the blood, His cleansing blood, to our lives, will not be practically made perfect in this life. No, that awaits. That awaits the time we see Yeshua face to face. When we die, then we will see Him as He is. And our souls will be perfect, and our bodies made perfect at the rapture when He comes for the church, and our soul, our redeemed soul, is reunited with our resurrected, glorified bodies. That, then, will be the consummation of the work of perfection that the blood of Jesus Christ originally purchased and brought into reality 2,000 years ago. So, the blood of the goat under the old covenant given on Yom Kippur only provided temporary and ceremonial cleansing at best. How much more now? Perfect cleansing shall the blood of Jesus Christ bring. After all, the Scripture tells us the various accomplishments that Christ's atoning shed blood brings. First, it brings us justification. The believer in Yeshua the Messiah is justified by His blood according to Romans 5:9. That is, he is made right in the end. The blood of Jesus brings us fellowship with the Lord through His blood. 1 Corinthians 10:18. The blood of Jesus Christ brings us redemption. Ephesians 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, atoning for our sins, gives us access to God's presence. It also effects reconciliation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Access to God and reconciliation, Ephesians 2:13, Colossians 1:14. The blood of Jesus produces complete remission of all sin, past, present, and future, according to the good news declared by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 9:22. The blood of Jesus Christ establishes a covenantal relationship between the forgiven sinner and God. This covenantal relationship is immutable, unconditional, and forever. Hebrews 10:29. The blood of Jesus sanctifies us. It sets us apart to serve, worship, and fellowship with the Lord. Hebrews 13:20. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us continuously. Though we have been redeemed, we are still called to live in the world, but not be of the world. And when you live in a fallen and sinful environment, those effects of sin will have their influence on you. Hence the need to be daily cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ through confession of those sins and the application of Christ's blood to our situation. Entrance into the presence of God, admission into heaven, is given exclusively by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For there is no other way except through the cleansing blood of Jesus, which He shed on the cross. Hebrews 10:4. Hebrews 9:7-25. The benefits of the atoning blood of Jesus are many indeed. Many indeed. For it is the basis by which the atonement has been made, vouchsafed, when the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood. Praise the Lord. And again we have the gospel of Yeshua through the atonement. And what it shows, what Yom Kippur shows, is the longing for forgiveness by God, the assurance that we are accepted by Him and welcomed into His presence. The idea of substitutionary sacrifice is the paramount meaning and theme for Yom Kippur. And this ultimate atonement, we know, points to Mashiach, as Isaiah understood it when he prophesied in Isaiah 53 that the coming Messiah would be stricken, would bear the punishment for our iniquities, and that through His wounds we would be healed. This is language, substitutionary and atoning language, that definitely shows a kinship with and a familiarity with the Day of Atonement. Praise the Lord. The Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement now has found its fulfillment in the sacrificial death of Yeshua. It is fulfilled in the present time in the life of the believer who applies the blood of Jesus to his life and receives complete forgiveness of sin. Now, the Day of Atonement also looks ahead to a future fulfillment. Keep in mind that in the present age, the church age, the atonement of Christ bears a efficacious fulfillment in each and every individual who comes to Calvary, confesses his sins, and receives the payment for that sin through the Messiah. So the Day of Atonement is fulfilled in every life that receives the death of Jesus Christ as the atonement price for his sins. And everyone who does that in this age, of course, is then baptized and becomes a member of the body of Christ, the church. But we must look ahead into the future to see how the future, or how the Day of Atonement will be fulfilled in the future with not the church who has already received his atonement, but the nation of Israel who has yet to receive his atonement. They are in unbelief. And therefore, the atonement does not bring about their forgiveness of sins. Their unbelief, being a sin itself, keeps them from the cleansing power of Messiah's death. Ah, but all that will change. All that will change when the Messiah returns to redeem Israel. And in the words of Zechariah, the land of Israel will be cleansed from sin in one day through the blood of the covenant. When Messiah comes to establish his rule and reign over all the earth, he will come back to Israel. And according to Zechariah 12:10, the Jewish people who have survived the horrific events of the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period, they will see the Messiah descending from heaven to earth with power and great glory, with the angelic armies following him and the armies of the saints. When they see this awesome sight, this splendorous return of Messiah, they will immediately recognize Yeshua. How? Ha ha. By the marks of atonement, by the wounds Yeshua received at Calvary. The pierced one will be immediately recognized. Zechariah 12:10, they shall look upon me. The Messiah is speaking here, prophesying through Zechariah about his return to Israel, the second coming. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And then all Israel will be saved, according to the words of Paul in Romans 11:26, when he will remove their sins. Israel's Day of Atonement then awaits the second coming of Jesus the Messiah. And on that day, the unbelieving nation will come face to face with the only one who could be the Messiah, dead or living. And they will realize it is, it was, and it is, and it forever shall be, Yeshua HaMashiach. Then on that day, the Day of Atonement will find final fulfillment in the redemption of Israel. Praise the Lord. But you don't have to wait till then, unsaved sinner. You can come to Calvary where all of the guilt of your wrongdoing will be removed. All the sins you've committed, whether large or small, will be removed. God is waiting for you there so that He can redeem you and forgive you and have a wonderful, life-changing relationship with Him. Don't delay. Come now. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you have been defiled by sexual immorality, if you have been wounded by hatred or bitterness towards others, if you have committed a great wrong, know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse every sin, no matter how foul or severe. The only sin that Christ Jesus cannot atone for is your unbelief, if you continue in that unbelief until death. But if you call upon Him now, believe that He died on Calvary's cross to save you. The Scripture says, you shall be saved. If you would like to do that, then I want you to express your faith in the atoning Messiah by saying this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank You. I thank You that You died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge now I'm a sinner and need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His precious blood and died for my sin as my final atonement. I therefore am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. If you have done that, then, according to the Word of God, you are a child of God possessing eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. The Lord wants you to grow. He wants you to grow in this faith and become spiritually strong, that you might serve Him. So, after trusting Jesus as your Savior, you have indeed begun a wonderful new life. Now, read your Bible every day to get to know God and Jesus Christ better. Talk to God every day in prayer, and you will find that He will hear and answer you. And find a good church where Christ is preached and the Bible is the final and supreme authority. Be baptized by water immersion, showing that you now identify yourself with the crucified and risen Christ and pledge to follow Him all the days of the rest of your life. And finally, tell others what you've done, that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and share with them this newfound faith. For those of you who are believers who listen to this program, let me ask you, I want to hear from you. I want to know that you are receiving these timely Bible lessons from the Word. I want to hear that you are benefiting from our delving into the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, so that by doing this, your faith has been enriched and your understanding of Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah has been experienced and enjoyed. We also need your support out there in the radio audience to continue this radio ministry, to also to continue taking the gospel back to the Jewish people, which we do twice a year. We also have a free ministry newsletter available to you for free. The announcer will tell you how to support us or how to get our free newsletter at the end of the program. Well, we have concluded the feasts, or the six feasts, with the final lesson on Yom Kippur. Next time we'll look at the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.